Well, hey friends, welcome to day three of my teaching this week. This week I'm teaching all about intercession. So I am currently in New York City. I had to change location. It was getting a little hot though, so I'm in a beautiful Bryant Park here. Oh my, I actually love coming here just to work. Great Wi-Fi here, you just sit here, get a coffee. And yeah, beautiful place, some Whole Foods, some great foods there, and just do some work. So, good. Great to have you here with me. Jump into that in a moment. Today I want to give you two of the, well, actually three of the greatest keys I know for intercession. I'll try to fit that in. But as always, housekeeping things. Can I say this as well? It really helps if you can leave me a comment. So if you're watching this, wherever in the world you're watching this video from, drop me a comment in the links. I really would love to say hi and to hear from you. Consider subscribing to our YouTube channel. We've got over 1.2 million subscribers right now, so I want to join that bunch. Check out the links below, including our email newsletter. And lastly, a big thanks to all of the friends and partners of our ministry. We love and appreciate you, and if you're not yet a partner, want to pray about becoming a partner. Boom. Good. I'm getting good at that. So I want to get you thinking about intercession this week, about how to effectively pray for others. And I'd like to give you three keys that will really help you in your prayer for others. I want to try and do that briefly, but that will change the way you pray. You know, I made a statement in my video of yesterday where I said prayer doesn't change God, prayer changes us. I mean, God is nice all the time. God, you don't have to talk God into a good mood. God was, I was about to say he was born in a good mood. I don't want to be flippant, disrespectful, but I'm... The point I'm making is God has always been in a good mood. God has been in a good mood since the universe was born. So you don't have a problem about God's moods. You don't have a problem about God's heart. We have a problem with our own hearts. And so often we come to pray for a specific subject. And we, in a way, it's like we kind of think all that's going on is there's God and then there's this person. But what's actually happening is Satan's real as well. There's all of the baggage that person's carrying. There's a world around them that's influencing them. And then the very heart with which we pray. We're supposed to pray from your heart. Jesus said, if you'll speak to the mountain, tell it to be removed, cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So often we're coming and there's work that needs to be done in our own hearts before God can do what he wishes, wills, and wants to do all of the time. So let's jump into these three keys that will really help you in terms of intercession. The first one is simply this, righteousness. There is something that we don't completely grasp, and yet we can grasp it biblically, or we can also grasp it experientially, about experiencing the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When you are clothed in righteousness, you are bold in the Lord. Do you remember the story of Esther, where she wants to come and intercede, not for herself, but for the Jewish people, on behalf of the king Xerxes? And she knows if she comes into his presence without his approval, she can instantly die. And when she comes in, either he's going to raise the scepter, which says, welcome in, or the scepter doesn't get raised and she dies. And of course, she comes in, raises the scepter. But it says in Isaiah 54, your kingdom's an everlasting kingdom, O Lord, not like the kingdom of the Medo-Persians. And then Isaiah says, the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. And Jesus has literally gone into the courts of heaven, so to speak, and raised the scepter of righteousness. And I have a right to pray, not based on my good works. Now think this through, because so often that's what people are doing. They're thinking God will answer their prayer because they've given to the poor, they've been a good bunny this week, they've read the Bible, they went to church, they gave tithes, they did this, they did that, they did the other. That's actually hurting your prayers, not helping your prayers. And often people will pray, but from a place of shame, of guilt. It's like we can't look God in the face because we know we don't deserve what we're asking for. We don't deserve what we're asking for. The point to grasp here is Jesus deserves what we're asking for. And we stand in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we come into his presence with boldness because of the blood of the Lamb. Now, assuming you're walking with the Lord and you're walking in repentance, you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's God, how God sees you. The question is more, how do you see you? You need to establish your own heart in righteousness. When we plead the blood, it's not like we're helping God out in this process. What we're really doing is helping ourselves out and removing the influence of Satan. We're established. Satan's the accuser of the brethren. And when we will plead the blood, you see, when we're being accused, we can go, no, I'm not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. Or when we're being accused, we can go, yeah, my bad, I'm a guilty. What we do is, in the blood of Jesus, is we don't plead guilty or plead innocent, we plead the blood. So, I would say that really establish your heart in righteousness. Now, frankly, we should be doing this as an ongoing way of life as we walk with the Lord. The more you do that, the more you don't need to do it when you're in a situation of prayer, but it is a really important thing to do. Don't pray from a place of sin and shame. Key number one. Key number two, and this is such a wonderful thing, I could teach on this one for weeks, and yet I'd love you to grasp this. If you're praying for somebody else, so often we're praying from a place of sympathy, compassion, empathy. Again, none of those are bad. I think they're good. But we're not praying with authority, and there's no faith behind, oh God, I really love this person. Here's a real key when you're praying for somebody else. Come to the Lord first and ask the Lord for a word for that person. Give us this day our daily bread. Come and ask the Lord for a word, a rhema word, a now word, a direct word from Him for that person, for that situation. And then when you pray, you're not praying the need, you're not praying your emotional response to the need. You're praying what God has said. God said this. God said this. And then what I would encourage you to do, frankly, is every day come in that place of faith, declaring as a finished work, as something done in heaven that will be done on the earth. But in a way, you're just, it's like Jesus saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. You know, if the Lord's told you that young man will serve Him, and the young man's far from God, that the person will be healed, that the money will come, that whatever the situation might be, just come every day and say, Lord, I thank You. You have declared this, and I declare it right back to You, and I thank You. This is true. Pray the word, not the situation. Daniel, after 70 years, one day opens the scroll of the book of Jeremiah and reads that after 70 years of captivity, the people of Israel will be brought home. So Daniel doesn't go, great, oh, God's decreed it. It's going to happen, baby boy. What Daniel does is he starts praying the word of God. He comes before the Lord and says, Lord, You said this. And Lord, You said this. And Daniel couldn't see anything happening. But while Daniel prayed for 21 days, praying the word, there was a battle going on between Michael the archangel and the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which refers, we believe, to a demonic entity operating over the nation of Iran, as it were, we call it these days. And after 21 days, Michael broke through and he said, I have come because of your words. So the word that we declare causes the war to be won. Boom. Hey, the last key I would give you today as well is what Paul talks about in Romans 8, yeah, where he says, Paul says at times we don't even know what to pray for, and then we don't even know how to begin to pray, like how to get our heads around this. We don't know how to pray. And then he says the Spirit Himself, not itself, if you have a King James Version, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. He said the Spirit Himself prays and intercedes with groans and utterings, because he who prays knows what the mind of the Lord is. And here's the deal. Let me finish with this one. But there's a place of intercession where you just don't even know, Lord, I don't even have a word. I don't even know how to begin to pray. I don't even know what good looks like. It's like a pilot flying a plane. He's lost all sense of where up or down even is. Where's the horizon? Am I flying into a mountain? Am I happily flying into the ground? I don't even know where I am. At times we're like that in prayer. And what we can do is pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe primarily that's praying in other tongues, which every Christian can do, by the way. And yet it's more than praying in tongues. Literally, at times, you can pray with... Have you ever gone get on the floor and allow God to groan with you? And it's literally like the heart of God. God is Spirit, John 4:24. The heart of the Spirit of God is praying through your Spirit. Paul says, if I pray in the Spirit, my mind is unfruitful. My mind doesn't know what's going on. But this is a place of intercession where, I'm not saying, suggesting you have to get on your knees, but you can get on your knees and pray. And there will be a sense of release, a sense like a burden that comes on you that you pray through. And a place where you will know that that deal is done, that thing is broken. And I find that a very effective way of praying for somebody else. Selah. Boom. Guys, I am out of time here right now, but I'm going to be back tomorrow and do some Q&A on this subject, question and answer on intercession. So if you have a question, let me know. I'm going to be preaching on this in my churches in New England this coming weekend. And I hope to see some of you there. Thank you for watching. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.